I'm going to skim over in our study this morning, but it's just really important here, especially as we begin the service. Paul prays that we would have power together with all the saints to grasp the love of Christ. And it's that phrase, together with all the saints, that's so striking to me. Because there's a dimension of Christ's love that can only be experienced as we are together as brothers and sisters in fellowship. And so I'm just so glad for your presence, your faith, and your prayers here today. Now, I would guess that maybe as Ruth was reading, the first line of verse 20 would have been the line that maybe especially stood out to you. Now to him who is able, to do immeasurably more than all that you can ask or imagine. We're here together this morning to affirm that our God is able. Able to do what? Well, he's able to do anything that needs to be done in our lives and in our world that is consistent with his character. There's a fascinating story in 2 Kings chapter 5. It's about a little Jewish girl who was kidnapped from her home, and she was taken to a foreign country, and she served as a household servant in the home of Naaman, who was the captain of the armies. And she served in that home. And one day as she was working around the house, she heard Naaman say to his wife, "You know, I just spotted some leprosy on my skin." And leprosy was in that time like cancer is today. Except at that time, they had absolutely no treatment for leprosy. Leprosy was pretty much a death sentence. And so here's this guy. He's captain of the armies. I mean, he's one of the most powerful guys in the country. And suddenly he realizes that all his life he's been living under the illusion of control. There's nothing that he can do about his leprosy. And enter this little Jewish girl, 2 Corinthians 5. And it's verse 3. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Now, can you imagine that? Here was this little girl in a foreign country. She would have every right to feel about Naaman. You know, kind of serves you right. You kidnapped me. You brought me to this foreign place. You're making me work in your house. Kind of serves you right. But with faith and love, she told him about the saving power of the God of Israel. And like a lot of people do in a desperate situation, Naaman turned to God. Naaman went to Israel, and he stopped in front of Elisha's house, and we're given the impression that there was a whole entourage of royal people who had gone along with him there in the string of chariots, and Naaman is standing outside his chariot in his royal robe, and he's waiting for Elisha to roll out the red carpet to him, you know. I mean, he's top-of-the-line stuff. And you know the story, some of you. Elisha sent his aide out to see Naaman. And Naaman was a bit peeved. I mean, Elisha didn't seem to be a bit impressed. But then he was doubly peeved when Elisha's aide told him what the prescription for the cure of leprosy is. You go and dip in the Jordan River 7 times. And Naaman was horrified. The Jordan River, why, that's yucky. It stinks. And with disgust, he got in his carriage and he turned around and he was headed home. But some of his servants mustered up enough courage to go to him and say, "You know, Naaman, if Elisha would have asked you to do some impressive thing, you'd have done it. Now, why don't you just humble yourself and obey God?" And Elisha did. And he went down in that yucky Jordan River and he dipped himself 7 times. And he came out clean. He was healed. Our God is able. Our God is able to heal. But sometimes he waits for us to humble ourselves. But back to that little girl. It was her conviction that God is able that allowed her to live in this foreign land with such security and well-being and faith. It was her conviction that God is able that allowed God to be glorified in this foreign land by healing the commander Naaman. And we come to our scripture this morning in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10. And in verse 20. And I just sense that the Apostle Paul is just overflowing with enthusiasm about our God who is able. And I'm going to put the verse 20 up on the screen, and I'd like us to read this verse together. Can you help me back there? It's not coming. Okay, let's read this together. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Now, this is often referred to as a doxology. This is sort of like Paul's hallelujah chorus in response to the incredible truths that precede verse 20. And when we read it like we just read it, we don't quite sense the escalating fervor of worship and praise that is in there. So let me just parse it out for you a little and see if it can help you to feel this escalation of worship and praise. It says, now to him who is able to do, now look at the line below, how much of what we ask? All what we ask. But see, no, he didn't stop there. Now to him who is able to do, what's the last word over here? More than all we ask. And notice the word in front of it. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask. And what does it say? Or imagine. I mean, he is immeasurably more than able to do all that we ask, and some stuff we don't even ask for. We just imagine it. Well, God's more than able to do that too. You sense the amazement of the Apostle Paul as he reflects on the wonder of God's goodness and power. Now, friends, I just think we really need to soak this in, because we live in a secular world. We live in a world where our culture just really works to erode that conviction. I mean, you and I go to work from, maybe you more than I in this case, you go to work from day to day, and you move in a world where it seems like the forces that are moving reality are the economic forces, the political forces, scientific discovery, education. This is the stuff that it seems like is really moving reality. And as we sense this, I believe we begin to lose our hold of this God is able conviction. Lord calling. And listen, the truth is that we're not going to pray very much. We're not going to expect very much. We're not going to dare very much if we don't believe in the deepest part of our being that God is able. And we're not going to believe that God is able if we don't spend time thinking about coming to know this God and spending time with the Bible, which is our only authoritative source of truth about God. And so in the next several moments, I'd like to reflect on the great truths about God that so stirred Paul's heart up here. Now, remember, this is a prayer, and I put it on blue cards so we could take this with us today. This is a prayer. And I want us to notice that Paul is praying for our inner beings. Do you notice what the last two words are in verse 16? I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power where? In your inner being, yeah. Paul's really praying for your inner being. Paul's leading us. He's showing us how to pray for people that we care for, how to pray for God's work in their inner being. This is going to be important for a lot of us here this morning. Now, inner being. Most of us here this morning, I think, probably took pretty good care of our outer being this week. I think most of us probably had several meals every day. Maybe some of us went for a jog or a bike ride. Some of us went to the gym. Some of us put on makeup. Some of you put on makeup. Some of us took vitamin supplements. We took pretty good care of our outer body, our outer being, right? A lot of us did. Think of this. What if you really were serious about balancing the time that you care for your outer being with the time that you care for your inner being? A lot of us here this morning are concerned for family members and friends. I mean, some of them maybe are spending too much. Some of them maybe are drinking too much. Some of them maybe are looking at raunchy stuff on the TV or on the computer. And you've been approaching them with counsel and encouragement, and you've been suggesting discipline. Hey, you know, you've got to work with a budget. You're going to keep spending too much if you don't work with a budget. And then you've got to commit yourself to stay off that website. We're giving each other that kind of encouragement, and that's so important, that kind of counsel. But all those conditions that I just mentioned, spending too much, drinking too much, watching raunchy stuff on TV or the computer, all those conditions are symptoms of a need at the core of our being. We're thirsting for the love of Christ, friends. We're longing for a deeper relationship with Jesus. During our vacation back in June, I was dealing with a bad back, and it really kind of ticked me off because I had this whole list of stuff that I was going to do with our grandsons and our children on the beach and on the tennis courts, and man, I was just hobbling with this bad back. And, you know, to top it off, my grandsons kind of got on my case. They said, "Papa, you look like an old man where you're walking around with your stooped back." And I mean, that didn't feel too good. I'm trying the hardest to cover up that reality, and it came through. And I was doing stretches, and my kids were telling me about stretches that we ought to do, that I could do. And then Bev said, "John, why don't you take some ibuprofen?" And I said, "I can deal with the pain. I want to get this thing corrected." And Bev said, "But the ibuprofen helps to take down swelling. It really does help the healing process." Which makes this a bad illustration. Because the point I'm wanting to make is that sometimes we deal with symptoms and not the core of the problem. And Paul's going to show us now how we can pray for our own inner being and the inner being of friends and family members that we care for. Verse 16, you got it there in your Bible? "I pray that out of his glorious riches..." Man, you ought to spend some time just reflecting on the glorious riches, God's glorious riches. "I pray that out of his glorious riches, he would strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being." That's what we need. We need ministry in our inner being. We need God to change our hearts. We need to pray for those that we love and care for. We need to pray for ourselves sometimes, that God would just keep our hearts soft and our hearts responsive, that God would keep our minds open. You know, that's what God did for Paul when he was still Saul on the road to Damascus. He was going to wipe out Christians, and God did something on that road to bring him down. And his friends needed to take him to the local village where he sat in darkness for several days, and God was working in his heart all that time so that when Ananias came, he said, "Brother Saul," and something like scales came off of Saul's eyes, and he saw. He believed. He said, "I get it. Jesus is for real. He's the truth." And the scripture says he got up and was baptized. Or think about the Apostle John. When he was a rookie disciple, I mean, he had real anger issues. But in walking with Jesus, Jesus changed his heart. And he became the apostle of love. Or what about the impulsive denier that Simon was? But Jesus says, "I'm praying for you, Simon." And by the time the day of Pentecost came, his heart was prepared. His heart was ready. And he just soaked up the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And Simon became Peter, the rock-solid leader of the early church. The miracle that verse 16 prays for, friends, the miracle that it prays for is the miracle of a changed heart. a soft heart, a responsive heart, a heart that is open. Our God is able, our God is able to change hearts. And then Paul prays in the middle of verse 17, if you get your Bibles open or you got the blue card there in front of you, in the middle of verse 17, boy, this is good stuff. You got to follow this. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints. There's that phrase I referred to earlier. To grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that passes knowledge, that you would be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Wow. You know now why Paul's doing cartwheels? You know now why he breaks out in this hallelujah chorus of praise in the following verses? Not only is God able, he is able to do immeasurably more than whatever needs to be done in your life and our world. But not only that, we're now told that he's full of love. By his very nature, he is love. 1 John 4:16 says simply, God is love. One of the real tragedies of our time is that people by the thousands and by the millions are walking away from this love of God, and they're walking into their own destruction. But Jeremiah 31:3 says, God keeps on reaching out. He loves us with a love that never quits. And Paul says here, his love passes knowledge. I mean, his love is of the sort that it passes it's beyond our rational understanding. And notice how he wraps it up there in verse 19. He prays that our inner being be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Wow. And what I want you to notice, friends, is that Paul is praying for this. He's praying for this. This is a prayer. He is praying that you would be able to grasp this love. That is, that you would just be able to see in a fresh way this morning this love of Christ. That you'd be able to know this love. That you would experience this love. That it'd be an experience in your life. Listen, Paul is saying that neither he nor you nor I can talk anyone into a relationship with Christ. We are called to be witnesses. We are called to be introducers. And then we are to pray that the Holy Spirit would help a person to see. That the Holy Spirit would help a person to know, to experience his love. That the Holy Spirit would help that person come to the point where he or she says, oh, I get it. I get it. And that is probably the most thrilling moment of life, in that moment when you get it. I can right now hear a woman that Bev and I journeyed with for 6 or 7 years, and she had just been through such a horrendous past. Her life was filled with such abuse, and she had just terrible self-esteem, and we were praying for her and loving her, and one day when she was in the hospital, it was during the Easter season, and she heard the verse, he himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. And I just explained, you know, on the cross that day, Jesus, in his sovereign awareness, saw every person who ever lived, and he saw you, I said to her. And he saw the pain that you're experiencing, that you have experienced. And he died for your healing. And I can still hear her say it after a moment of silence. She said, I get it. And I paused for a moment. I wanted to be sure I heard it right. I said, what did you say? She said, I get it. Wow. And the Bible says that that moment is so incredible that when it happens, all of heaven breaks out in a party. How many of you here this morning have ever played matchmaker? You ever set anybody up? come on. How did it work out for you? Oh, that was the wrong answer. They got married. Well, our youngest son, Doug, was introduced to this beautiful young woman in Lancaster County. And so he asked her out, and they dated, and they dated, and then it clicked. It worked. They said, I do. They've got our two granddaughters. But that matchmaker can take very little credit. All she did was introduce. She couldn't make it click. That's just got to happen, right? And friends, our calling is to be introducers. We are committed to introduce persons to Jesus Christ. We are committed as a church to care for our children with Christ-like love and teaching. We are committed to modeling Christ for our young people and leading them to know Christ and to follow Christ. We are committed as a congregation to encourage each other and to counsel one another, to spend time thinking about God and our relationship with God and being in the Bible, which is our only reliable, authoritative source of truth about God. And we're also committed to care for the children and the young people and the adults in our neighborhoods. We are committed to introducing people to Jesus Christ. And then we pray. Then we pray. And there's almost no better prayer to pray than Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. And I want to encourage you this week to carry these cards with you. And maybe several times a day, pray this prayer. Pray this prayer for yourself. Pray this prayer for people that you care about. And as you pray for them, just picture them in your mind. And it's really a three-point prayer. And so on my card, I have three things underlined to emphasize the points of the prayer. For this reason, I kneel before the Father is the first thing that I have underlined. Kneeling is an expression of yielding. It's an expression of surrender. As we come to prayer, we yield ourselves to God and we worship Him for His wisdom and His power and His love. And then second, I have underscored that He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. We pray for the inner being of our friends, our loved ones. We pray that God would soften their hearts, that God would make his or her heart responsive. We pray that God would help them to have an open mind. And then the third thing that I have underscored is a few lines down, the word grasp. I pray that you may have power together with all the saints to grasp. And I have the word know underneath there, underscored. We pray for those that we care for, that they would be able to grasp, that they would be able to see the love of Christ. And that they would be able to know His love, that they would be able to experience it. We pray that God would cause folks to have those experiences where they say, I get it, I get it. And we pray for each other, that we would continue to have I get it experiences in our lives. And we pray, as the last line of verse 19 says, that we might be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Wow, what a prayer. Friends, our God is able. He is full of love, and He is able. Amen. I've asked Caleb to share his thoughts on these verses.
What I use here. Okay, this is pretty good. Okay, Pastor John really did a great job with this here. He pulled out a lot of the same things that I did. But I read over these verses a bunch of times during the week just trying to see what I got out of it. And what I kept coming back to was how wide and long and deep and high and deep is the love of Christ. and how we use that as a witnessing tool in our lives. And I think that's the most powerful thing that we have, that